So I wanted to get through the exhibit hall today, and then I wanted to be able to make sure I could make it on time, so I dressed up in a disguise. What do you guys think? What do you think, right? Yeah, so it's like lipstick on a pig, perfume on a turd, so to speak. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'll be putting my REI $19 vest on immediately after this, I promise. So we're going to talk about leads. And there's a joke with people that are in my real estate team. The joke is, when I come to a class with Ben, he always says the same thing. He always says the same exact thing. And I said, well, if you listen to what I said the first time, I wouldn't have to repeat it. And I learned that the easy way, because I've been going to Gary's masterminds for a long time, and he's helped me quite a bit. And every time we go in there, he draws a triangle. You guys know which triangle I'm talking about? Right in the triangle, what's it say? Leads, listings, and leverage, right? So we've done three of these classes. This is the third one. The first one we did was the listing presentation. Then we did one on team building. And then today is about leads. So we kind of did it in a weird order. But here's what Gary says. Gary says, I figured to get into our mastermind group, which the cutoff this year was about $2 million in GCI. To get into this group, you have to understand how to get leads and listings. So we're going to talk about leverage. In every meeting we go to, we talk about leverage. And Corinne, you'll know this is true. Every once in a while, we're sitting in that room, and we look around, and we say, he's going to talk about career visioning again today. He's going to talk about leverage. And we're like, we heard that last time. And one of us, we get some guts. Usually, I'm the guy volunteered, right? And I raise my hand. Gary. We understand all the L's. We got that. Leverage is super important. We're just wondering if maybe we could talk about something different today. And he said, sure, I'm willing to talk about whatever you guys want as soon as you master these things. And I figured that if you would have understood leverage, you would have sent somebody else today. Carry on, Gary. Carry on. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So we're going to talk about where do you get leads? And we're going to go through this process of figuring out, or right in the beginning, well, how many leads do you need? And I have a strong philosophy, and it's actually why I built the technology that I did, was when I looked at agents' businesses and my businesses, the vast majority of the money we spent was not generating the business that we did. When you looked at their lead gen budgets, they were buying internet leads, they were buying Zillow leads, they were buying all these things, but that's not where their money actually came from. That's not where their money actually came from. Their money actually came from a few other sources that we're going to talk about. So what I like to think about is other leads, these non-relational leads, as Gary and Josh keep talking about, these are leads that are the extra 20% for us. It's not our 80%. If you do a good job with those, though, they turn into your 80% because those people will refer you business and do more and more business with you over time. Does that make sense? So how many leads does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop? You guys remember the owl commercial? One, right? Two, right. It's like me and a cheeseburger. So here's what I figured out. Over years and years of doing this, it takes 100 leads. If we had 100 leads today, right? We go over to Grant, we say, Grant, I need 100 leads right now, right today. And he finds a way to get us 100 leads today, right? In the first 6 months, if these are cold, internet, sign call, those sort of leads, you should get at least one to two closings. Now, from the same 100 leads that we had today, in the next six-month period, we should get another one to two closings. Does that make sense? And then the following 12 months, so by the time we're done talking about this, it's been 2 years, we should at least get one more. So if you're doing that math, we are looking for a 3 to 5% conversion rate from leads to closing over a period of 2 years. Does that make sense? And that's a number that people struggle with. And the reason they struggle with it is because they start working on those leads for a day or two, and then they don't do anything with them, right? I gave a guy once, he said, I'm having a hard time in real estate. I'm thinking about stepping out. I want to sell you my business. And I said, well, what's your business do? And he's like, not much. And I said, well, what do you have to sell? He says, I got 18,000 leads that registered on my website. And I said, well, how much business did that give you? And he said, not much. And I said, I'll give you a dollar for each one. So I took all 18,000 of those people, I dumped it into my system, and I had me and my team and my virtual assistants, we just set up listing alerts on every single one. Right? In the first 6 months, we did about 60,000 in GCI from old leads that somebody else had gotten that he didn't do anything with. And then that continued and continued and continued. Gary would call that, we got diamonds in our own backyard. We got diamonds in our own backyard. Many of us, we don't need more leads. We need to work the leads that we have, and we need to nurture those leads, which Bob and I will talk about. But if this is the math right here, I'm going to get my calculator out because I'm not super good at math. Let's just do some math. If the average lead costs you, internet lead, unless you're overpaying for it at Zillow or something, let's say it costs you $15 or $20 or something like that, right? So you take $20 and you multiply that times 100.
$20,000. I got it.
How much?
$20,000. Did I do it wrong?
I don't know. I'm not good at math either. I'm going to get my calculator out. I'm sorry.
20 times 100 is 2,000 still. 2000. Shut up.
All right. Shut up.
Okay. 2,000. That's still pretty good. How many people would exchange $2,000 for 5 closings?
Yeah, duh.
Your arm sore? Right? I'd do that. Right? I'd do it for 3 closings. I don't know if I'd do it for 1 or 2. And the reason is, it's not that that's not a good return. It's that, is that the best return for my dollar? In business, we have to understand this idea of finite resources. Finite resources says if we give to one thing, we must take from another. But we don't always believe that. We don't behave like that. We think that all resources are infinite. Meaning, we think if we get money here, we put money here, and it gives us a return, it's good. But we don't ask ourselves the question, what if we would have put that money somewhere else? We think that just because we do open houses and we got some closings, it's a good use of time. It may not be. Because if you took that time and did something else, it may actually be better. It may be the best thing. But you got to ask that question, what could we do better? So that's the math for you guys to think about. It's how we plan and we build our business and how we think about our budgeting. But this is our business model for our real estate team. You'll notice that this is not an internet lead business. This is a real estate business. Every agent on our team starts with the left-hand side of the pie, Matthew, right? What they have to do when they show up on day one is they come in and they got to have 200 names on a spreadsheet that we can easily import into our CRM so that they can start working their sphere. Because if they don't have those names in a database, they can't work that database. All that happens is we go back and we say, hey, have you been working your sphere? And they're like, uh-huh, yeah. But they aren't really. There's no proof of it. They don't have the tool to actually do it, right? They don't have a plan to do it. Next, open houses. Every agent on our team has to do a minimum of 2 open houses a week, right? You can do 2 of them on Sunday, 2 of them on Saturday. You can do 1 during the week. You can do 1 on the weekend. You can't do 2 during the week. 1 has to be on the weekend. It's because we want to fill a pipeline so that every agent gets into productivity as fast as possible. Unless you're Bob's mom, because Bob's mom did how many open houses in December?
She did 26, but here's the thing. If you do that stuff that's on the left-hand side there in our business, we believe that just a dummy could do 24 deals in a year, and he hasn't even got to the prospecting part, which is 150 dials every single day, Monday through Friday. So we work our sphere, 63 touches. We do 2 open houses every week, and we do our prospecting. So 2 open houses a week is like 8 in a given month, right? And we think that can turn into 24. The crazy thing here is the math on this. My mom did 26 open houses in 1 month, in the month of December. I think in January she had 7 pendings, and in February she had 8 pendings because of kind of that foundation. But she did 3 times the amount of open houses we're supposed to do. And her year, she did 79 transactions instead of 24.
First year in the real estate.
So she just did 3 times the work, and she's not a dummy, so that's probably where them extra couple of deals came from, right? It doesn't really matter if you're smart or dumb. If you do the work, you're gonna have the outcomes.
So if you're doing this side of the business, you earn the right to do these other things. Whether you're an individual agent or you have a team, if you're a team, are your agents and yourself doing these things? And if you are, do the other stuff. If you're not, don't do the other stuff, right? Individual agents, same thing. If you aren't doing this, don't do that. You can't go buy internet leads to get to your success, right? It is something that supplements you and helps you grow, but you got to do it all. So what's the business side of thing? These are internet leads. These are forced registration. These are home valuation leads, right? These are people that register on your website, showing requests, so on. Next is listing leads. And by that, I mean leads from my listings, which requires you to have what? Listings. That helps. That's why in the triangle, everybody always reads it, leads, listings, leverage. But actually, if you figured out listings, you would get signed calls, open house visitors, website inquiries, text messages, all those things. You would actually have leads. And if you got enough of them, you would need
leverage,
right? Which would free you up to get more, listings, which would give you more. This is such a cycle. It's a vicious cycle. But if you can do things that generate a lot of leads from your listings, and these are the best ones because they're about a specific property and you don't have to pay for it, right? If I was dropped into a neighborhood naked, I've never been to that city before, they just parachute me in there, first thing I do, I cover
Why did he have to be naked? Like what?
I don't know. I watch Naked and Afraid a lot.
Okay.
So I drop into that city, right, and I'm naked, and I got to get my real estate business started. First thing I do, I'd steal somebody's pants.
Thank you.
And then I'd start knocking on doors. I say, we have an interesting service today that where we help people sell their home at no cost. We'd be seeing if you'd be curious today, if you'd be interested in selling your property, no cost, no problems, no catches, right? Who would be interested in that? And as soon as I found somebody who was allowing me to put a sign in there and list their property, I'd be telling everybody in the world that I just listed that house. I'd be telling the neighbors that house is for sale. I'd be doing open houses at that house. I'd be doing whatever I could, right? And as soon as I sold that house, I'd tell everybody in the world that I sold that house until I found another one or two transactions. And I'd use that as my first domino. Does that make sense? If you had nothing, you could at least start with that, right? And I'm being a little facetious, and I hope we don't have to do that, but that would be an option, wouldn't it? So here's the problem with our real estate businesses today, and I hope this becomes a major, major aha for you. What happens is we go into our business or our brokerage or an agent comes into our team, and they walk in there, and it looks like a gym membership. When you walk into a gym membership, what do you see?
Stuff you don't know how to use.
Lululemon. Lululemon's freaking everywhere. That's the only thing you see. But beside the Lululemon, what you see is a bunch of equipment and a bunch of machines, right? I went in there once and I got on one and it freaking fell over on top of me. I did it the wrong way. There's so many things in there. It's so confusing, right? So what I did, I walked in there, I looked around. I'm like, this isn't for me. And I walked out. That's not the right plan. Agents do the same thing in your business. They walk in, they say, watch all these videos, do all these things, log into these seven different places, right? Do this. And then and then a couple months later, they say, I'm not making any money. I'm going to go get a job at Best Buy. And then they leave. True? Everybody true? So what we want to do, we want to move away from the gym membership. We want to move away from the gym membership, and we want to start offering a CrossFit plan. What would somebody have to do to be successful every day to win their day? When you walk into a CrossFit gym, you don't have a whole bunch of equipment. You don't have a bunch of things to do. You don't have to spend 3 hours there, right? You walk in, you go in there, it says, you're going to do 30 squats, right? You want to do the 30 push-ups? Yeah, you got to do 30 push-ups. You're going to do 30 lunges.
That one.
You're going to do 30 sit-ups. You're going to do 30 flutter kicks. You can tell I haven't been there. And you're going to do 30 climbers. And when you're done, you won. You won. And you leave, not in 7 hours of working out, right? You leave, you feel good, you're in and out in 45 minutes, and you've just won.
You know what? I've never been there either, but I guarantee on the first day when you get in there and you start doing squats and they don't, you're not doing them right and you got too much weight out over the balls of your feet, and they help you then. They come over and they go, hey, Ben, get back on the heels, right? Lift your toes up when you do your squats. So they help you to perfect what you're doing, right?
What to do, how to do it, and how many times to do it. We need to do the same exact things in our real estate business for our people and for ourselves. I call those the real estate success principles. There's only three things that you have to do to be really successful in real estate. Are you ready? Write them down. Number one, say the right thing. Say the right thing. That's a scripts problem. That's why every single day we have scripts and dialogues. It's required. If you don't show up, you don't get leads, right? You don't show up, you don't get to stay on our team. It's required because I didn't want the agents to practice on my customers. Does that make sense? And I don't need a script book that's this big. We don't need those. I need 10 scripts that my agents do really well. And it's hard as I get my partners coming in and they're like, hey, we're going to play this motivational video this morning. When? Well, at Scripps. I thought it was Scripps. I didn't play motivational videos for the 10 years that I ran Scripps. We did, you're not going to believe this, Scripps. And then we role played it, right? And it was simple things. And we're going to go through probably about 10 of my favorite scripts today that any agent could use to get business. The second real estate success principle, say it enough times. It's a French word. It's job. Are the people going to show up every day and do their frickin' job? That's the activities. How many calls, how many texts, how many emails, right? How many door knocks, how many hours of opens? What is the activity that we're going to do that will lead to success? And somebody figured out if you did all these things, you'd look like him, not like me, and you would go do these things and you'd be in shape.
Somebody else. No.
But I figured out what would it look like to be in real estate shape, right? And real estate shape for us was 150 dials every single day. It takes about an hour and 10, hour and 15 minutes, right? It's working your sphere every single day, reaching out to those people and knowing what to say, how many times to say it, and having something to talk to them about. And it's doing your open houses enough times. And at the end of that, if you do not get appointments, you keep doing more of those. Now, the third real estate success principle, have enough people to say it to. Which is why on day one, every person that joins our team has to show up with a spreadsheet filled out with at least 200 people on the sphere sheet. And then somebody says, well, what if they don't know that many people? I said, it's impossible. How many contacts are on your phone, Tina? 800, right? How many people are in your LinkedIn database? How many business cards are sitting around your house? Who cuts your hair? Who's your doctor? How many people are in your family tree? Who'd you graduate with? Who'd you work with last time? Right? How many people are you connected to on Facebook? Every person, unless they've lived in a hole, knows 200 people with at least one way to contact them. It could be an address, a phone number, an email address, or on social media. And that's what they have to show up with on day one. No, it doesn't even have to be every way to contact them. It has to be one. Because one of the first things you do when you work your sphere is ask them, hey, I was trying to send you a Christmas card, and I realized that I didn't even have your address. What's your address? I tried to call you the other day, but I don't have your phone number. I must have lost it. Email me your phone number.
The Papasans contacted me around Christmas time and did that to me. They didn't have my address, but they had my text. They texted me, Jay did, hey, can I get your address and send you a Christmas card? Like, they filled my hole in their database.
So when you do those three things, you can be successful in real estate. Anybody can. You take a blind squirrel, put them in there, they can do it. I know because I hired a guy that knocked on my door trying to sell me a Kirby vacuum cleaner. He sucked at it. His first year in the business, he listed 140 properties. He came in, started calling on the phone, right? He said the wrong thing all day. And I realized you don't even have to say the right thing to be successful. He just called enough people. Right? So we got to find this balance, right, between saying the right thing and saying it enough times. If you say the right thing, you don't have to say it as many times. If you say it enough times, you're going to be successful. But what would happen if you said it a lot of times and you said the right things? Then you could truly have massive success. And the only the bonus real estate success principle for once you want to move from being a producer to owning a business is have enough people saying it. Have enough people saying it. And that's where you start succeeding through other people, and that becomes the leadership job. So think about it for a second. Look at your business and say, where is your business actually coming from? I looked at a million agents' spreadsheets when they're importing their past closings and stuff into our CRM. I'm looking at their lead sheets. The leads don't always represent the closings. So you have to sit back and ask yourself the question, where does my business actually come from? Is it coming from Sphere? Is it from open houses? Is it from prospecting? Is it from internet leads? And that may not be the right answer. What you're trying to do is you're trying to have a business that's as stable as this chair, right? You want to have a business that's as stable as this chair. Most agents, they have the business that's as stable as this, right? Would you like to try to sit on this while I spin it? Right? But that's what we do with our business when we only work by our sphere. We only work canceled expireds. We only work builders. We only work REO. We only work one of those things, right? And all of a sudden, the market shifts, and they're out of business. They play that. They wrote a book called Rich Agent, Poor Agent, right? You want to have a stable business that's so stable that as the market shifts, you can shift. And I try to, my personal goal is to have four primary sources or five at most of buyers and four to five primary sources of sellers. And that's what our team focuses on. So let's talk a little bit about how technology fits into it. And it really doesn't matter if you're using our technology or if you're using anyone else's. But it's the concept of how technology should work in a real estate business that I want you to get from this picture. On the left-hand side of this where it says traffic, that's where everybody you know and everybody you don't know hangs out. That's what we call our Mets and our haven't Mets, right? That's behind their mailbox, behind their door, behind their email box, behind their cell phone, right? That's behind the computer, wherever it is. What we do is we help individuals figure out, what do you say to those people? What is the content and the messaging, the call to action that would get them to do something where they could become a client or a lead? Then we use those messaging to drive them to a tool that captures them. That would be an IDX website where they go and they search for properties. A seller site where they're going there to download your marketing plan, see what their home is worth, research other properties. Right, a valuation website, which is a tool used to get somebody to type in their address. And when they hit submit on the address, it actually captures their address, sends them to the next form where they fill out their name and information. But if they don't do that step, we at least know their what? Address. 99 out of 100 times, it's where they live, right? Or it's where their ex lives. It was one of those two things. And what you do is you use that address, and if you can't get their contact info, you just go knock on the door, right? And then we use text call capture services, mobile search apps, open house tools. The goal is to drive everybody to something that gets them to register, and then they go into a single CRM, whether it's us or Command, it doesn't matter. But inside that CRM, what you do is you nurture them. You don't nurture them with your spam emails that I see you all sending. You send them something they actually open. They open listing alerts if they're buyers, and they open market reports if they're past clients, thinking about selling, live anywhere. Everybody's curious about real estate. And Steve, let's talk about this. Are you married, Steve? Somewhat. Close enough. How many people in this room are married? Raise your hand. Wow, look at this. Okay, keep your hand up. Raise your hand if you're married. There was more hands last time. Come on, this is, get your hands up. Are you married? Raise your hand or not. I'm gonna take a picture, send it to your spouse. How many people? Yeah, keep your hands up. Pay attention. Pay the directions. It's a simple thing, right? If you're married, keep your hand up if you'd be willing to send your spouse to a speed dating event tonight I'm planning. Keep your hand up. You're gonna send your spouse to a speed dating event? No?
Swingers.
You can put your hand down. Is she going to punch you? Here's what happens. If you are not the person that provides information about what's going on in the market, actives, pendings, and solds, you're sending your clients to Zillow or Redfin to see what's going on. That's like taking your spouse and sending them to a speed dating event. Hey, go out tonight. Have some fun. I hope you meet somebody better. You'll be able to review their 5-star reviews in all categories and see if you can just upgrade while you're out, please. That's what you do when you send them to Zillow. I saw a sign that an agent had that said, find this home on Zillow. They're going to find another agent. That's what's going to happen. Same thing happens is when you do emails and you send emails to your customers of all the open houses in town. Please let it be one that my team is hosting. Don't do that, right? You want to keep these people and nurture them. Bobby, would you agree that market reports are the number one most open thing that you could send a past client, a sphere, somebody like that?
So it, we've been sending stuff to real estate people for a long, or to clients for a long time. It's more than twice of an open rate of anything we've ever sent. I mean, it gets almost a 40% open rates on market reports, which is a staggering number for any kind of email marketing. Yeah, I mean, you know, we've taken all of our teams, all 25 of them, and they're just, it's a requirement. Every single person in our database who's a past client, a sphere, or somebody who's ever raised their hand and said we might be a seller gets market reports. We even do it with our active clients, but yeah.
The active clients allows them to know what's going on, so when you have that pricing conversation, they already have the data, right? And that nurtures them until they get into a pending and so on. You need that all in the same kind of technology. But here's how you convert leads. Bob, walk us through this model real quick.
So our leads come in from any source. Doesn't matter where they come from. They come into one place. And the reason they do that is so that we can use the same process, right? It's the same exact process. So they come into the CRM, then we route them. They need to go to somebody, right? Ben doesn't sit there all day and field leads and go, this agent should get that one. And so we can route them based on the source, the price, what day of the week it is, right? So on Monday, they go to Jimmy, and on Sunday, they go to Sally, right? Location, price, round robin, tags, right? There's all these ways we can route leads in our world. We want to make sure the right person gets the right lead.
And you would do that maybe all listing leads in this area goes to your listing agent, but all the buyer leads go to this one. But if it's over a million, it's going to go to this person because I know that lead's not going to get killed. That person can handle it. If it's in this area, this zip code, let's get it to the right person because the right person matters. Right? And then what happens?
The agent gets notified right away via text, via email, maybe a pop-up on the app, right? Now, the cool thing is, hopefully, like, I actually hope all of you guys are in a position that your agent's not sitting there waiting for the next lead to come in and then jump on the phone and call them right away, right? They should be doing other things. They should be showing houses. They should be calling their sphere, right? When that lead comes in, you should have something that kicks off automatically. So in our world, we use action plans. We use auto plans, and they trigger automatically based on where that lead's coming from. So if it's a lead coming from Zillow and it's a seller lead, that's going to key a certain action plan. If it's a lead coming from our website and it's a buyer lead, it's going to key this plan, right? If it's coming from our open house, it's that plan. Quickly, it's this plan. Now, what do these plans look like? Here's how we do it in the Ben Kinney teams. We have three text messages that go out every single lead. Gets three text messages on the first day in the first 15 minutes if they don't reply. If they reply, the plan stops. The first one directly addresses the inquiry, right? Hey, I saw that you were on Zillow and you looked at a property. Did you get all the information you wanted about that property? 3 to 5 minutes later, we send an ancillary ask or offer. Did you guys want to take a look at the inside of that house? Did you guys want me to send you a list of properties in the neighborhood near that house that are similar, that are also for sale, right? Some kind of an ancillary ask or offer 3 to 5 minutes later. 7 minutes after that ancillary ask or offer, we send the guilt text. We're big on guilt, ladies and gentlemen.
We're Catholic.
Yeah, here's how that works, right? We say, we utilize what we can. So if it's a lead from our website, they filled their name in on there, so we're going to use a placeholder for their name, and we're going to say, hey, this is Jimmy, right? You were on our website earlier looking at listings. I hope I don't have the wrong phone number. Right? We just want them to reply. You would be, I'm shocked at how many people reply to that third one. What do they say? Oh, hey, sorry, yeah, I'm driving. I can't talk right now. Or yeah, I'm at work. I wasn't even supposed to be on the computer. Like, I'll call you later. But they reply, right? And that's all we want them to do is get into a conversation with us. Now, if they replied to number one or two, number three is not going to go out. It's going to stop. We do a bunch of other stuff. We have the 10 days of pain. I'm sure you guys are all familiar, or many of you are familiar with the 10 days of pain. It's actually 12 days now. Might even, in some of our teams, it goes a little bit longer. The very last thing that we send to somebody, we've already sent them 6 text messages. We've called them, I think, 4 or 5 times, and we've sent 4 emails. On day 12, we send a text that says, I love texting you. You hate replying. That's not it, though. And then we say something to the effect of, I just wanted to let you know that I'm going to keep following up with you once a month until you either tell us to stop or you buy a house with us. We just want to be upfront, like either reply or I'm going to call you every month until you buy or you die, right? And that's how we do it. We're very forward. Like, what do we care? They've ignored 14 text messages, like the nerve, right? So we're just going to guilt them one last time on our way out the door, and then we're going to set a reminder to call them in a month.
Well, the key to that is when you have auto plans applied, every lead that comes into your system always gets responded to. And your agents will start just seeing the responses and replying to those. Every single lead gets a plan applied, gets tasks scheduled, gets calls scheduled, gets emails sent, and texts automatically sent. And remember that script. I love texting you, you hate responding. Because you can use the same thing on emails. I love emailing you, you hate responding. It gets them to interact.
Voice messages, and they let you feel like a real person. You hate replying, right? Or you hate calling me back. Like, we're not that smart. He'll admit it. We're not that. We just like kind of take one thing and we're like, how many ways can we use this one stupid, silly thing, right? We're going to use it here, 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 and here. And we're going to do it 100 times over and over and over and over again. That's how you build a big, successful business, this boring stuff over and over. And then you automate some of it so you don't have to be the boring person sending it. Now your computer is sending it for you.
The cool thing is we realize that you don't have to have 3-paragraph emails. They don't read it anyway. You don't read it. We don't read it, right? Don't send it to them. You need 1 or 2 lines. You don't have to have long text messages. You don't have to have long calls. You just go straight to the point, offer value. So we're going to go through the Sphere CrossFit plan that all you guys can implement in your business and what that could look like for each one of these categories. When you're organizing your database, first thing you got to do when an agent dumps the database in or you're doing it is you just got to organize it and tag it. We follow the old methodology of putting A pluses, A's, B's, and C's. We apply tags to them. Who are they? It's my golf buddy. It's my fishing buddy, right? This is a past client. This person's in this area. You can have as many tags as you want. Then we put the intent, buy, sell, both, status, hot, cold, nurture, right? And what is the source? I met this person at open house. I met this person at Zillow, whatever that might be. A plus is somebody that consistently sends you multiple referrals every single year. They would interrupt a conversation and say, hey, I heard you talking about real estate and you said you're going to call Bob. You'd be an idiot. You really got to call my friend Ben, right? You got to call my friend Ben. Would it be okay if I connected you to him? That's an A-plus person. You aren't going to have a lot of those early in your career. And even after a long period of time, you might only get to 20 or 25, right? But that's your bread and butter. That's your bread and butter. Your A's are people that refer you business often. They might hand your cards out or hand your name out, and you get referrals from them pretty consistently. Your B would do business with you. And if asked who they would use, they would probably mention you. And the C's are basically just a bunch of people in your database that you captured. That's not your sphere. Once you get it organized, you decide how to handle it. So what do you do to work these individuals? And I'm just going to give you a simpler plan. The millionaire real estate agent says to do how many touches in a year? 33. There's a lot of different answers there, right? They just moved it up to 36 the other day? Yeah, they upgraded it. Okay, that's still kind of for sissies. So here's what I do. Is I make sure that everybody in our database, right, that's an A, A plus, and if you have enough of them, a B, gets a call once a month. So that's how many times a year? 12, okay. Everybody gets at least 2 emails a month. Both of those are market reports. They go out automatically. You don't ever have to send it. Okay? That's 24 plus, yeah, we're at 36. Okay, everybody gets 1 piece of mail a month. That's a postcard, handwritten note, a letter, an invite to something. That's another 12. What are we at? 48. Everybody gets touched at least 1 time on social media. Message, like, comment, those sort of things, right? And lastly, what are we at right now? 60? 60. And then we get face-to-face with our A pluses and our A's 3 times a year. 3 times a year. And our goal is to do things that get them to come to us, right? And we'll talk about that as we go forward. That's 63 touches in a year. And I bet agents all the time that join our organization, I'll give you $10,000 at the end of the year if you can't get 18 to 24 transactions by doing these 63 touches for 12 months straight. It is physically impossible to touch somebody 63 times, right, and not get 18 to 24 referrals. Just the way it works. So you got to figure out what I found in this CrossFit plan is you can't just tell them to do that. You also have to tell them, as Bob said, how to do it, what to say. So our job is to come up with things that we could say to people. Traditional ones would be like, who do you know that I should know? But I always kind of felt slimy doing that, right? I didn't have the great Irish accent, so I had to come up with something that was a little bit less like that. So I came up with my own plan, and it was a simple script. You guys ready? What are your real estate-related plans for the year? What are your real estate-related plans for the year? Right? Somebody, I'm walking my dog, somebody walks up, I talk to them, I always ask them what they do for a living. You know why? Because then they'll always ask me, exactly, Don, right? And then they'll say something like, oh, that's interesting. Why? What are your real estate-related plans for the year? It's an easy question. You call your database, right? You say, hey, Steve, this is Ben. I was planning out my year, and I wanted to make sure that I was available for when my friends and family needed me, both professionally and personally. But professionally, what are your real estate-related plans for the year so I could plan everything else around when you guys don't need me, right? Well, I don't have any. Well, that's okay. Do you know anybody, friends or family, that do have real estate-related plans for the year? It's simple, it's not slimy, it's not salesy, but it delivers and does the point, right? What are your real estate-related plans for the year? It's literally that simple. But then the next month, you might mix it up, right? And you might say, ask them something about, we have a list of what we consider to be the 10 best-priced properties in town. And we're calling to see if you know anybody that's looking to invest or buy real estate, that we could help connect with these properties. We call these the best buys. The best buys are our collection of foreclosures, short sales, right? Motivated sellers, people that have passed away, things that banks are trying to get rid of, all that together. And they're not going to be here in a week or two, so we need somebody that's looking right now, and I'd much prefer that it got with somebody I know, right? And then the next month, it's going to be something else. We have a family moving in. Let me tell you about them. The family, they have 3 kids. They just got a new job in town, and they really want to be in a neighborhood like yours. And I was calling to see if you knew anybody in your neighborhood that had considered selling or tried to sell in the past. And you go through, and every month you're giving them a different call to action. This month we're going to be doing an event. We call everybody, invite them to come to the event. That event could be a class or whatever it might be. When you're mailing your sphere, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to use the same calls to actions. You're going to offer value. And you're going to invite them to different places. Tina, come here real quick, please. Tina, agents have a problem asking their sphere for business. Now, why do you think that is? It's not you, by the way, it's other agents, right? Why do agents have a problem?
Fear of failure.
Fear of failure, that's a new one. Why else? Why do we not want to call our friends and family? We don't want to bother them. Let me ask you a question, Tina. What do I got here? Tina, it's a lot. Tina, does that bother you?
No.
Okay, have a seat. You see what I just did there? What'd I do? What's another word for money?
Value.
If every touch we made to our database felt like that gift that we just gave Tina, that's for you, Tina, that gift we just gave Tina, if it felt like we were delivering value, would we feel bad doing it? No, but we come up with this mindset where we say, I don't want to work my database, I don't want to call my database because I might be bothering them. But I ask myself the question before I come to work, what could I do to bring value to my team today? And then I ask myself the question, if I'm going to talk to anybody about real estate, what could I do to bring value to my database today? So when you're making a call, it's not just asking for business, it's bringing value. Right? It could be talking to somebody that rents instead of owns, and you're saying, hey, did you know the average renter in the United States had a net worth of $5,200, and the average homeowner had a net worth of $238,000? And we did the math in our area, and there are 3 reasons why every person should own instead of rent, and it's appreciation, the tax benefits, and the fact that you pay off your own mortgage instead of your landlord's. When I did the simple math, comparable to what you're probably paying for rent, you would make an extra $22,000 a year Would you be interested in sitting down with me for a few minutes to see how I could help you and your family save or make an extra $22,000 a year? Would that be worth 5 or 10 minutes of your time? Right? Hey, I was going to set you up on this market report. It's going to send out information about what's active, pending, and sold. That way, in the middle of the night when your neighbor's house is going on the market, you don't have to sneak over there wearing entirely black and grab one of the flyers and only to be disappointed that the price wasn't on there. Now I'm just going to send it to you. So you always have all the information, right? We're going to email our sphere things like these market reports. They're going to be short. They're going to be sweet. They're going to offer value. We're going to send invitations as things that they could come to. We're going to link to content like listings or real estate or things about interest rates. We're going to offer them the free mortgage. We're going to ask what we can do for them.
One of the things that's stunning about him, he's not necessarily in his business every day up there in Bellingham, Washington. You could ask this guy any question about that market, and he still knows it inside and out. And then there's a certain something about, like, really knowing the statistics and your market, right? He could talk to anybody about anything in that market in Bellingham. There's just something about that. That's just what I'm noticing from over here. Like, because you're not in the business every day.
No, but I search for real estate every day. Every day I'm looking to see what came on the market. One, I want to see who took a listing and why we didn't, because it ticks me off. Two, I'm seeing if there's a good deal for something I should buy or something that somebody should know about, right? And I'm just curious. I'm just real estate curious. Right? Okay, face to face. What we want to do is we want them to come to you willingly through events, meetings, meals, and visits. We give away pumpkin pies at Thanksgiving, right? We'll give away hard-boiled eggs and dye coloring kits at Easter. You could do something, watermelons for 4th of July, right? You can come up with all these different things to get people to come in. You could do Christmas Santa photos. We see a lot of agents doing that. We've had paper shredding parties where people bring in all their stuff and we'll shred all those things for them, right? All that. But one of my favorite things to do is tie it to a cause. For those of you guys that know me, they know that I care a lot about giving back, right? So if you're going to do open houses this month, try this. Invite all your sphere to the open house, not in the way that you've been doing it. Can I see it? Your emails? Your emails to your database of 10,000 where you say, come to the open house. They all hit unsubscribe, and then they hit unsubscribe, then they can't send listing alerts or market reports to those people. That's why when you send that spammy crap, you send it out of MailChimp or somewhere else.
Or stop.
Right, or just stop. But what if you called that person or texted that person or emailed that person and said, hey, this is Ben. We're trying to get school supplies gathered for all the children right now in our community. There's a lot of children that don't have backpacks and simple school supplies. Here are a couple of locations that we're going to be over the next 2 weeks. I'd love to invite you and anybody you know to bring school supplies out to any one of our offices, any one of our open houses, or just send us a message and we'll come grab it from you. And then 2 or 3 months later, you do the same thing for the food bank. And then it gets cold, and you do the same thing for jackets and clothing. And then you do the same thing for Christmas gifts. And you turn your events, your office, and your open houses into causes. That is something that actually goes viral. And they're going to stop saying, hey, this Tina, she's a really good real estate agent. She sells real estate. They're going to start saying, you know what, Tina? She does a lot of good for this community. Right? And that's a different person. And that creates a loyalty like no others. We work people through social media, but you guys know how to do that. We'll give you guys some scripts and some things that we're going to work on for Sphere, and I gave you a couple of my favorite ones. Now, open houses. First thing you got to do is you don't do 1 out of 10 open houses, which means you only do one thing to market it. First is you create an action plan, if you're using our software, in Brivity and Projects, that you apply every week to the open houses that you're going to do. This is what the agent has to do, because you assign it to the agent. This is what the admin does. This is what the VA does, right? This is what you're going to do. And that's the same plan you follow every time. Chris Suarez would call it a lead gen lever for all the things that he does. You create an action plan for what's the admin, the marketing pieces, where they're going to put on the MLS and market as an open house, so they can advertise it on these other portals. You get 10 signs out for every single open house. 10 signs. The more signs, the better, right? If I had that one listing that I took for free, I'd get 25 or 30 signs. I'd probably have to do it on borrowed money because I was naked when I showed up. But I'd get as many signs as I could, and people would be driving around and say, I see that guy's signs everywhere. They didn't know they all led to the same exact spot. See, perception is reality. Isn't that true? Yeah, for sure. You leverage your sphere by inviting them and getting them to a cause or cookies. You circle prospect the neighborhood. So the agents say, well, I understand that your people have to call 150 people a day, but who do they call? Well, one option is they call around the open houses they're going to do that week. Hey, I just wanted to let you know that John listed his property at 1234 Main Street with us. I know that you guys are neighbors. I'm not sure if you know John exactly. But what John asked me to do is he asked me to call each one of the neighbors and invite them to come over. He thought that you guys might know somebody that wanted to live in your neighborhood, and you could have an opportunity to pick somebody better than John to live there. Are you available Sunday between 12 and 4? Is there any time? Could I schedule a private showing for you? Since you're coming over there, would you like to have any information about your house and the value of your property? I can arrange some comps as well. Do you think you'll be able to attend? I'll count on you. I'll see you then. And you call through and you do the next one. And if nobody answers, you just leave that as a voicemail. And you just keep going through and you do that and you do that and you do that. And all of a sudden you end up where the agent across the street had one person show and you had 50 people show, right? You market them online, you share them socially, you do everything that you can, including turning them into an event. You leverage your affiliates or local businesses to get them to sponsor, to do other things with you. You create contests or support causes. You be creative. You just be creative. If you're gonna do it right. If you're gonna do a lazy open house, at least bring your phone, your database, and your dialer and call people while you're there. Right, Bob's mom was not reading Cosmo or Game and Fish. She was sitting in there with her headset on, right, calling Cancer Expires, calling FSBOs. She was calling her database, right? She was falling up because she was locked in a house, right, waiting for people to show. If nobody shows you, just keep doing your stuff. Once they're inside your open house, you leverage the wood sell list. Wood sell list is pretty simple. It's a list of addresses that you've determined would sell for the right price to the right buyer. These could be all the addresses that have been inputted into your home valuation site. These could be a list of all the canceled expireds or FSBOs. This could be a list of old canceled expireds. This could be a list of properties and foreclosures or all the builder permits. The goal is to put it into a big book. And we put it into a big book because when people come into my open houses, they walk in and I say, hey, how's your home search been going?
That's tough.
What, have you been looking at a lot of properties and they get multiple offers or already sold?
Yeah, or just you can't find the right one.
You know what the problem with that is?
What's up?
You're looking at properties that everybody else knows about. Would you be interested in looking at a bunch of properties that nobody knows about? Here's my gigantic book of would sell properties, people that would sell if they were connected to the right person.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I already have an agent, though.
Oh, I have an agent.
And then I close the book. You should talk to your agent about his wood sell list. You know what I mean? Well, I've talked to... Oh, you don't actually have an agent. I opened the book back up. We should schedule a time to get together and see if we could look at some properties where not everybody else in the world was making an offer. Do you think that would be something of value to you?
Yes.
Maybe we could schedule some time for right after this open house to get together. Right? You do things like that to get people motivated and thinking that you're different. You don't just say, come in, grab a cookie, grab some jewelry, look through their closet, you want some underwear, just put them on and then walk out. It's fine. When you're in an open house, what you want to do is you want to make sure that all your agents use the same exact script. Bob, thanks for coming to my open house today. People come into my open houses for one of two reasons. One, they're curious what their home is worth and thinking about selling. Two, they're thinking about buying. Which one are you? Agents don't get sellers from open houses because they don't ask buyers if they have a home to sell. But what we found is what?
Everybody lives somewhere.
Most people live somewhere. That's what I found. And agents don't find them because they don't ask for them. These are simple, simple scripts, but they make a massive difference. You get everybody in your team to just start asking that question. You'll start getting neighbors to list. You'll start getting listing appointments, right? You'll start getting future listing referrals. Right? And you use that script. It doesn't even have to be for open houses. Somebody calls on your for sale sign. You say, hey, people call on this sign for one of two reasons. One, they're a neighbor and curious what their home is worth. Or two, they're thinking about buying. Which one are you? Oh, I see you registered on my website. That's interesting. People that do that traditionally are somebody that's curious what their home is worth and they're thinking about selling. Or two, they're thinking about buying. Which one are you? Right? It's the same scripts. You don't need 100 of them. You just got to get good at delivering these. So as you go down this plan, right, we figured out what is our plan for the sphere. We're going to do 63 touches. We're going to organize it. We're going to teach our agents what to do and how to do it. We're going to do open houses. We're going to do it the right way and give them the right scripts. Next thing we're going to do is prospecting. Prospecting is taking lead generation into our own hands, making the dials, leaving the messages, and keeping in contact, as Tim Heil taught us, with the nurturers. Nurturers are people that would sell in the future. And if they did potentially list, they would talk to you. Does that make sense? Some people think about prospecting as just burning through it. But that isn't your goal. Your goal is to build your database every single day. So you should be tracking yours and your team's, the number of leads you add from your activities. Once you get them in there, then you apply them things like listing alerts or market reports. So if we call Beth up on the phone and we say, Beth, I saw that you recently had a home on the market and for whatever reason it resisted sale in the past. Are you still interested in selling? She says, no, we're going to take a timeout. And if I can't get her to meet with me, I'll say, Beth, one last thing. I have this thing, a service that I do. It's free, right? And what we do is we'll send you a list of active pendings and solds around your house. It'll go out automatically at a frequency you choose, once a week, twice a month, or four times a month. Did I do that wrong? Once a month, twice a month, or four times a month, right? Every week. And when that goes out there, you're going to know exactly what's going on in the market. And what I found is when I do this for individuals, they raise their hand at some point and call me or call another agent, and they say, my neighbor Bob's house just sold for $400,000, and if I could get that, I'd sell mine right today. And you get all those people being nurtured. Because adding them to your database without nurturing, right, that's useless. We don't list in our database. I've seen agents, they buy these lists from these different software companies, right? They get circle prospecting or canceled expires or FSBOs, and they dump it. They dump it right into their CRM. That's like pooping in your database. It gets so clouded, you can't do anything with it. Don't put list in your database, just put leads. So you call those lists in your dialer. Once you get a relationship and get them agreed to meet or to be nurtured by one of the tools, then you put them into your CRM. But don't confuse list with leads. So what are the different types of prospecting that our team does? Circle prospecting, that's calling around an open house. That's calling around a pending. That's calling around a sold. As soon as you help a buyer buy a house, call around the house that you just helped them buy to let everybody know that you just sold that home. Well, you weren't the listing agent, but you brought the buyer, so you sure as heck sold it. Does that make sense? And that should be an agent's job in their task list when a property closes, is to circle prospect and celebrate and let everybody know that they just sold that property. There's multiple offers, and it's sold over asking. Does that make sense? You call canceled, expires, and FSBOs. Since November, we have had more canceled expires than we had in probably years. It is the new source of business. Think about the other agents in the community as recon. They go out and find the listings. They don't sell them. You sell them. Right? That's the way it works. It is one of the best sources of business because I built my business on it. You call each one of those individuals and you use just a simple canceled expired script. My assistant just put your property on my desk, and I realized that, wow, this is a great property, and I bet you were surprised it didn't sell. What we found is that properties don't sell for one of three reasons. One, it's how it's priced. Two, how it shows. Or three, how it's marketed. And I can see from the pictures right now that your property is beautiful. What do you think it was? And what do they say every single time?
How it was marketed.
How it was marketed. That's it, right? That's exactly why we need to get together. Are weekends or weeknights better for you? Doesn't matter what they say. Bob says, well, I'm thinking about relisting with my agent. Well, that's exactly why we need to get together. Are weekends or weeknights better for you? Right? Well, I'm not going to list it for a full commission. That's exactly why we need to get together. Are weeknights or weekends better for you? Well, I'm not willing to reduce the price. That is exactly why we need to get together. Are weekends or weeknights better for you? And you just go through and you go through and you go through and you say the same thing. We call for sale by owners, FSBOs you find on Zillow. We call rentbos. Those are things that are for rent because somebody owns it. And when they advertise the rental, you make sure it's not a property management. And then you call the person. Would you ever consider selling this property instead of renting it? And then taking that and putting it somewhere else. You call homes in default, notice of trustees and notice of defaults. You circle prospect just listed, just sold, and you call home valuation requests. Home valuation requests are probably the single best source of leads out there because nobody else knows about it. When somebody types in their address, even if they don't give you contact info, they basically raise their hand and said, hey, stupid, I'm at least curious what my home is worth. And they're curious because they want to refinance, which you can now offer them a free mortgage. Or two, they want to sell, right? Or they're getting a divorce, which they're going to need to sell and then buy two homes, which is super good. Make sense? And you just go through and you come up with a plan and you get your agents to call each one of these things. And it should add up to at least 100, 150 dials a day. For me, I found that if I dialed 52 people, I get on average one appointment. As your agents get better, they'll get closer and closer to that. As they get good, they'll surpass mine. But from that, you're going to talk to about 15 contacts on average. Talk to 15 people, you should be able to talk at least one person into meeting with you. Remember, don't puke in your database. Don't put lists in there. Just put leads. Let's talk about online leads. Online leads are things that you drive to your IDX websites, your home valuation websites, and your seller websites. IDX and online leads only come from a few sources. When Zillow or Redfin or Brivity or anybody else in the world is giving you online leads, they haven't found this new secret place that buyers and sellers hang out. There isn't one. All they do is they take people from Google, Facebook, other search engines, and other social networks, and they buy those leads and then sell them back to you for more money. That's it. That's all everybody does, right? Some of them sell them back to you for 5 times or 10 times what they paid. Some of them just charge a small margin to manage that advertising. Make sure you understand what's what. But all they're doing is they're driving people to these different types of pages through paid advertising. Every single one of them. That's why we don't need our leads. If we give them the money, they advertise, right, to send people not just to us, but to multiple people. You can also do things like search engine optimization where you do not pay people. You just make your website work well in the search engines. What we did is we found out a way to take every listing in your MLS and make that a unique piece of content. So every listing that comes on in your MLS, we add it as a page on your website. Other website tools, what they have is they'd go and they just have 10 or 15 different pages. We take every single listing, and if your MLS allows it, every pending and every sold, and we make it a page. And what that means is every time a new listing comes on the market, you have a new page. And what search engines want is they want updated content, added content, refreshed automatically. Back in the day, Bob and I did that at Active Rain by writing a bajillion blog posts, right? And we added content by doing that. Now we can actually leverage MLS data to make that happen. But internet leads, they're simple. They're simple. You need to teach your agents what to say to these leads to get them to take action. Those scripts could be something as simple as my if you could script. Would you buy a home today if you could, Tina? Well, I can't. Well, why can't you? Well, I'm not pre-approved. If I could get you pre-approved, would you buy a home today if you could? But I don't have good credit. But what if I could get your credit repaired and then get you pre-approved? Would you buy a home today if you could? Well, Tina, would you sell your house? Well, I can't. Well, why can't you? Well, I'm in a lease. Or no, that wouldn't work if you're selling a house. Well, I owe too much. Well, what if I could get you the amount of money that you need for your property so that you could walk away? Well, can you? I don't know. I haven't seen the inside. Would weeknights or weekends be better for you? That makes sense? It's if you could. Will you sell your home today if you could? And then you work backwards by removing each one of the objections, right? And then you meet with them. When you're calling an internet lead, a buyer, you're offering things that maybe nobody else is talking about. You're saying things like, hey, we have a list of properties that we consider to be the best buy list. Best buy list are properties that are canceled, expired. Properties are no longer on the market, but they're good deals. Short sales, foreclosures, right? People that are in distress or have to sell fast. I had a guy once, he said, yeah, I would love that list. Can you email it to me? And I said, no, actually, all I have is a printed copy, but I'm willing to come to you. We can meet at Starbucks or you can come in here. And he said, really? I said, yeah, unfortunately. And he said, all right, what's your address? So he comes to the office. He goes outside the office, and he starts freaking honking on the horn like I'm delivering milkshakes. I come out, and he rolls his window down this much, and I slide my little list through the window, and he rolls it up, and he backs off, and he takes away. Can you believe that? But what happened, he didn't know that was just like crack, because I got him addicted to it. Because the next week he says, can I get another one of those lists? I said, yeah, but you actually got to come inside and talk to me this time. He said, all right, sorry about that. I was having a bad day. I said, no problem. And he came in, we sat down, we talked, we listed his house, and we helped him buy. They want something different, whether it's off-market properties or good deals, right? I like to have my agents make smart calls. That's why I don't export my database into a dialer or export my internet leads into a dialer, because then they make dumb calls. Dumb calls is when they call and they say something dumb like, are you still buying? I saw you register on my website. Are you still interested in something? That's a dumb call. A smart call is, hey, I saw that you looked at 1234 Main Street. I'm going to be in the area anyway. Would you like to come with me and look at the inside? Hey, I saw that you saw this property twice, right? Would you like to schedule a time to go out there? Would weekends or weeknights be better? Hey, I saw that you calculated a mortgage on this property. Would you like to be connected with a lender? By the way, we have the ability to get you a free mortgage that could save you up to 2% of the property's value. Would that be something that you'd want to hear about? Great. We should get together and talk about it. Would weeknights or weekends be better for you? Right? And you come up with these scripts that your agent can say, and when you create a task in our system, under tasks, you just actually save it in the notes what the actual script is. So your agents all say the same exact things. Online seller leads are interesting. As we talked about it, your goal is to get people to a page. Get people to a page to put their address in. When they put their address in, they go to the page to fill out their information. And then last page, they get a range of what their property is worth. When they get the range of what their property is worth, it's not enough to be accurate for them to make a decision. It's intentional. If you gave them the exact right price, number one, you'd be rich. And number two, they wouldn't need you. Right? When Zillow gave out the $1 million prize to make home values more accurate, do they think they were thinking about keeping you involved or excluding you? Right? So when you call them, you use the apology script. The apology script is really simple. Bob, I was just calling to apologize. I saw somebody just visited my website to see what their property is worth, and I looked and we gave you a really wide range. And the reason is that we didn't have enough information to give you an accurate price. So I was calling to ask you a few questions. Were you just curious about selling? Were you thinking about selling? Or were you looking to refinance?
Thinking about selling.
And then I go through whatever that script is. If Bob says, no, I was just curious.
Yep.
Then I say, great, not to bother you. I might offer him a market report, right? And then the next thing I'd say is, just out of curiosity, so I don't bother you again, if you were going to sell, when would that be? Would that be in 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? Or are you going to leave in a box? You're going to leave in a box. And Bob says?
5 years.
5 years. Somewhere there. Perfect. Bob, just so I don't bother you, is there a price that you would actually sell your home for today? Sell your home for today that might get you to move sooner?
I think everything's got a price, Ben.
Right? What price would that be for you?
$860.
Interesting. Ask me if I think I could get it.
You think you can get that?
I don't know. I haven't seen the inside of your home. Would weeknights or weekends be better for you? Does that make sense? And you call and you give the apology script. If I don't have a phone number, we divide all the home valuation leads up amongst our agents. And between Monday and the next Monday, they have to go door knock all those, drop off our seller guides and some comparable properties in the area, and try to have the conversation about the apology. Somebody had searched for this address to see what the property is worth, and we gave a wide range. We were calling to apologize. We actually didn't have enough information to help give you an accurate assessment. Since I'm out here, why did you ask? Were you curious about selling or just thinking about refinancing? Right? The nice thing about Keller Mortgage is what they're doing for us is they're giving us a fallback plan to deliver value to people. If they said refinancing or doing something else, where we can provide real value. And if you help somebody refinance for free, do you think they're going to have some loyalty to you? Do you think they're going to refer you to other people that want to buy or sell? Absolutely. There's two types of online seller leads that you can go generate. And most of this will come through marketing, print, radio, TV, digital ads, Facebook ads, Google pay-per-click. And you do two types of things, and we figured out a really cool trick. One is seller sites. Seller sites are branded to Tina. When they go there, they learn about the Tina team. They learn about her marketing plan, what she does, her results. And they're going there to research who they're going to hire, right? And you're going to run ads like Tina's the top agent in town. She outsells the average agent 4-1, right? Tina does this and Tina does that. And you're getting that message out there so everybody says, we got to hire Tina. That make sense? Home valuation is come here to see what your home is worth, no obligation, no contact, right? You're getting people to go in there to do that. What we did is when people started visiting our home valuation websites, we started installing a cookie on them, right? Not like the type of cookies that have been installed here, this little digital thing that follows them. And then it follows them through the internet. And once they leave our home valuation website, we start showing ads about Tina. And when they, wherever they go, just to that person, we'll show Tina's face on CNN, ESPN, Google, Nordstrom's, Cabela's, wherever that person goes, we follow them. And all of a sudden, the person calls you up and they say, I see Steve's face everywhere. You must spend a bajillion dollars on marketing. We're actually really good at marketing ourselves and our properties as individuals. I'd love to sit down with you and talk to you and see how we can market your property. Right? But really what it was following Tina because we identified intent to sell. That makes sense? Nobody's doing that. Nobody's doing that. But that's how you take home valuations and turn them into actual listing presentations. Once they're in your system, you nurture them through things like market reports and listing alerts. And you get your people, once again, for the 5,000th time, to use scripts to do these things right. When you add all that together, right, you start getting listings. When you're getting listings, you get leads from your listings. This would be things like quickly sign calls where somebody texts in a thing like Bob to 59559, and they get a list of all the properties in the MLS, not just your listing, and you get their cell phone number, right? And anywhere they go, anywhere in town, they can use that to find any property, no matter who it's listed by, and you start getting leads. Text messaging is probably the future, along with instant messaging, Facebook messaging, so much more than email. You guys know how many emails you get. Your people are getting those too. They aren't answering them. What we want is we want people responding the way that they want to communicate. An example of our actual for sale by our for sale signs with the quickly sign that we hang above, and we put a separate one in the ground. Separate one in the ground. When somebody goes there, they text it, we get their information, we send the information to the agent, and then the very last piece of the pie is other. And other is a choice that you guys make. This could be things like you're going to do first-time home buyer classes. You're going to offer a class for investors. You might do a farming like Kenny Kloss, right? You might do REOs like Carissa and Jay. You might do short sales. You might do builders. You might do notice of defaults. You might do probates, whatever that might be. Lots of agents build their businesses off of other sources, but 80 or 90% of agents build their business off of the five other pieces of pie. We don't want to be entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs fail 98% of the time. We want to be purposeful in such a way that we have a success record 98% of the time we actually succeed in real estate. And then you end up in this idea of once you get the leads, you got to convert them. Why don't leads actually get converted? Because we don't communicate fast enough. Your leads think their sandwich is worth $10,000. So they keep, your agents, they keep eating the sandwich instead of calling the lead back. We know that if you wait 10 minutes instead of 5 minutes to call somebody back, you're 30 times less likely to get a hold of them. We know that if you wait 30 minutes to call somebody back, you're 100 times less likely to get a hold of them. That's like taking your marketing budget and flushing it down the toilet. That's why auto plans, auto texting, and getting your agents to respond fast is so important. Otherwise, you might as well just not do lead generation. Work with people that are more tolerant, which is your database, people that already know you. We don't look for buy signs. We put our leads into databases like Contactually or Follow Up Boss that doesn't give you any indication what these people are doing. Are they looking at market reports? Are they looking at listing alerts? What property do they look at? Right, Austin, what's the average price? How many bedrooms? We aren't looking for that indication of buy signs. How many favorites do they have? We send them spam and we scare them away and they unsubscribe. We can't build rapport on the phone because the agents are using the wrong scripts or no scripts at all. Or we focus all of our time and energy on the wrong sources. Remember, it's the left-hand side of the pie first. We don't work internet leads when we can get business from Sphere and our current people that are in our pipeline. We do those last. Leads don't get converted because our team says the wrong things. They don't do the activities. We give them too many leads. Our agents only email them instead of calling and texting and Facebook messaging and knocking on the door and peeking through their windows. But mostly, it's because the leaders do the last two things. They don't inspect what they expect. They don't look at the dashboards and see how many texts that agent has called. They don't look and see how many calls they made and how much time they spent on the phone. They don't look and see that every lead has a follow-up task. They don't look and see that every lead has a plan applied. They don't go through those processes to inspect what they expect. They just come in pissed off like a seagull and fly in and poop on the team, frustrated, then they leave. But that's the leadership's job, to know what's going on in the business, and it doesn't take a lot of time. It's 1 minute, three times a day, to just have it up and hit refresh. If you want, just have it loaded on the TV. Just have it loaded on the TV so you can consistently be sort by the agent who made the least calls or most calls first, right? And they'll know what happens when they're on the top of that list. Make accountability transparent. When people hide and they don't have the numbers and you don't share it, right? Then they don't do the activities. And the last one is you hire wrong people. Remember, there's no amount of leadership that'll solve a mediocre hire's problems. When you think that you're a bad leader, you're just actually leading the wrong people for you. That person might be really successful with somebody else, but for you, you need somebody different. I'm real clear who succeeds with me and who doesn't, right? I need somebody that I throw the ball, right? They're gonna run off. If I hand them a potato, they're gonna bring me some frickin' French fries. They aren't gonna bring me the potato back. I'm not the person that's gonna sit down and talk about the potato. I don't care how the potato feels, right? I don't wanna have a long discussion about the potato. I just want some frickin' French fries. So I throw the potato to somebody that I know is gonna go get that. And that's the end of our session. I hope this was a useful class for you guys.